Okay, good morning everybody. Dan Chodesh, Chodesh Tov to all. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashan class learning. So let us begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. Please, someone reached out to me. If you get the information from the WhatsApp chat where I post the Zoom information and then the share after, it's the WhatsApp ID photo of that WhatsApp group. So if you're looking for the Tefillah Al Hadibur that we say, if you go to the WhatsApp group that where I post the Shmir Salashan information, if you look on the picture for that group, it's right there, if you're interested. Ribono shel olam, yi ratzon lefanecha al rachum v'chanan shetezakeni hayim v'chol yom v'shmor piyu l'shanim b'lashon hara rechilus v'ezar v'ledaber afilu al ish yachid v'kol shekein ha'kal yisrael o achelech mehem v'kol shekein misurim amidosef shakol shbaruch hu v'ezar v'ledaber divrei sheker chanuf ha'mechlokes ka'as gaiva o na'as dvarim habanas panim v'itzanus v'chol divrei asur וזכני שלא לדבר כמדבר הצריך לענייני גופי ונפשי ויהיו כל מעשיי ודיברוי לשם שמיים אמן ואמן. So in this list of forbidden speech, we are in the middle of the topic of exploring the halachos and the parameters of ona'as dvarim, verbal abuse perhaps. We are learning the Iloi Nishmaso and the Zecher Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershon Ben Yov Hachana Alav Hashem. And also the Zecher and Lilui Nishmaso Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya, Alav Hashem, may both Neshamos have Aliyos and Zechiros the Tova and the Schus of the Torah that we will share this morning. And with your permission, a Schus for continued Refuah for Bracha Avigail, Basrachel Gita, Besoch Shar Chalei Yisrael. So we are in the middle of learning about the parameters and the Lachos of Onas Dvarim. That's because we are in Perek Yedalid of our Sefer. And in this Perek, the Chavetz Chaim is going through the different topics or inyanim of Shmir Salashan, the Pratim Halachos Hanhagos Binyan Asara Dvarim, and he begins with Onas Dvarim. So we spent a few weeks in the Sefer, and then we went to the source, we went to the Gemara itself, the Masechet Bava Metzia, which we're going to go back to today because we're not finished. However, I just want to, I cut something out of Mishpacha a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it would relate it so beautifully. I've been saving it. I put it into my Kuntzus Chavetz Shmir Sefer, saving it specifically for this class. We're talking so much about Onas Dvarim the past couple of months. This is really the opposite of Onas Dvarim. It's a beautiful model of complimenting with speech and actions instead of insulting and denigrating with speech or actions. So I'm going to read it to you. If you saw it, then you're just going to have a review. It's from Shul with a View, Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman, and the title is Recipe for Success. Okay, this was a mishpacha a couple of weeks ago. I cut it out until this class. I regularly learn with my balabatim, parentheses, a wide mix of men on various levels of learning. And we learn between Mincha and Marv. Rav Yitzchak Eisenman is a very well-known Rav and Magid Shir and from Passaic, New Jersey. I'm sure you've heard of him. One evening, we were doing Ein Yaakov on the topic of Shalom Bayis. The Ein Yaakov quoted a pasuk from the Navi Habakkuk. And in keeping with my habit of reading the pasuk inside, I asked a fellow, he calls him Barry, to please bring me the Sefer. After an excessive amount of time, this fellow Barry returned, and with a big smile, he handed me the book, Spice and Spirit. You might have it. I have it. The complete kosher Jewish cookbook. It's a Chabad cookbook. It's one of the first original kosher cookbooks. Very classic recipes. So Barry hands Rabbi Eisenman with a big smile, Spice and Spirit, the complete kosher Jewish cookbook. I took the book, but the look on my face obviously said, what is this? Barry proudly said, at first you said, let's look up the pasuk in Habakkuk. I thought maybe there was a sefer that by that name. However, I went through the set of Tanakh, I read all the names of the books, and there was nothing by that name. It then occurred to me, Rabbi, you must have swallowed your words and you said Habakkuk. You meant the Chabad cookbook. It took me some time, but I tracked it down for you. I almost said, this is the wrong book, Barry. The book called Trei Asar contains 12 smaller books. Trei Asar means 12 in Aramaic. I wanted Habakkuk. Why would I want a Chabad cookbook? But Baruch Hashem, exclamation mark, before the words left my mouth, a memory flooded my mind. I'm quoting verbatim. Here it is, okay? More than 20 years ago, I had the schus to travel to Europe with the Vad Lahatzalos Nidche Yisrael. It was an organization that spreads Torah to the Jews of the former Soviet Union. So he was on this trip to the former Soviet Union, and Rav Matisyahu Salman graced us with his presence. Whatever time we had to wake up, he would teach the Sefer Tomer Dvorah 30 minutes before davening. I attended his Tomer Dvorah shir, even if it took place at 4:30 a.m. I would wait by his hotel door, take his tallis, tefillin, and svarim, and carry them to the makeshift shul where we davened. One day, as he sat down to teach, Rav Salman realized the Tomer Dvorah was not on the top of his pile of svarim. He asked me, would I mind going back to his room to get it? Of course, I wouldn't mind. I ran to do the mitzvah. I returned to his room. I picked up the sefer. I brought it back, and I hand-delivered it to the mashgiach. He thanked me. He hesitated for a moment, and he opened it, and he began, yesterday, said Rav Matisyahu Salman, we learned a very fundamental principle in the Tomer Dvorah. He reviewed the topic of yesterday from the sefer open in front of him. This morning, he continued, I want to learn what the Mesilas Yesharim says about this point. He continued reading from the sefer in front of him. After shir, I picked up the svarim and noticed the Tomer Dvorah was not amongst the svarim of his. I then realized I brought him the Mesilas Yesharim instead of the Tomer Dvorah, and that was why the Mashgiach hesitated. Not wanting to embarrass me, he pretended he needed the Mesilas Yesharim all along. I was amazed by his midos. That was the story that happened 20 years ago. Suddenly, I heard a voice bringing me back to today. Rabbi, what did you want to show us in the cookbook? I immediately opened the cookbook and began to turn the pages randomly. My eyes noticed the sentence in the book that talked about the importance of the Shabbos table. Everyone, please listen up, I said. Even in this wonderful cookbook, there's a reference to the importance of the Shabbos table and having Shalom Bayis on Shabbos. I read a few lines from the cookbook. I improvised a little, and then I closed it. I looked at Barry and I said loud and clear, thank you so much for bringing me the cookbook. It was a real chesed. I'll bet even the famous Mashgiach of Matisyahu Salman would have been very proud of you. The glow from Barry's face could be seen and felt in the entire Beis Medrash as he smiled ear to ear. So I'm sure you could hear me smiling as I read. For those on Zoom, you could see. It's really such a beautiful illustration of really the opposite of the topic that we've been exploring for the past couple of months based on the sources and the halachos of Onas Tvarim. And here, he, in an instantaneous moment, made a decision. Instead of embarrassing Barry in public, instead of Matisyahu Salman embarrassing Rav Ron Yitzchak Eisenman in his earlier years, they made a split decision and warmly encouraged through appreciation for what was done. And you're going to see today, with that as our introduction, very powerful, humorous but serious introduction, we're now going to go to the Gemara, and you'll see how seriously the Gemara feels is the horrible sin of embarrassing somebody through Onas Dvarim in public. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing for you. So we're in Masechet Bava Metzia. We're continuing our learning Nun Ches Amud Beis, towards the end of Amud Beis. One second, I prepared on the screen. It's right here. You should be able to see that it says Bava Metzia 58b. You could? Yes? Okay, very good. So, one second. Oh, I thought it was in the right place, but I'm not exactly. One second. Okay. Here I am. Okay, this is where we want to be. Okay, so we are towards the end of the daf here. I'm starting over here at Tanya, okay? Atana ta, the following braisa. Kame de Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, in the presence of Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak. Someone who embarrasses his friend in public, it's as if he spilled blood. So again, how apropos is the introduction, the true story with which we began. Amarlo, Amar le, he, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, said to the Tana, okay, Shapir ka amarta. What you are saying is correct. Like Shapir is from the word beautiful. We just had Shifra. Excuse me, in Parsha Shmo, she was called Shifa Shemishaparas Asavalad. She would beautify the child. Shapir Kamart, so what you said is correct. What you said is beautiful. What you said is correct. Why? What you said is correct. That someone who embarrasses someone in public, it's as if he spilled blood. 1 second, I don't want this here. Okay? It's as if he spilled blood. When it's Aramaic, I have to read from the art scroll, okay? That's why I'm not reading from the screen. You can follow on the screen, but I need the anakudas for the art scroll. The chazina le da azil sumka va ase chivura. Because I have seen, said Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak to the Tana, how the red coloring leaves the face of an embarrassed person and his face turns white. The art school footnote says it's as if his blood has been taken from him. So taking someone's blood is shvichus damim, and spilling someone's blood through embarrassment is also considered shvichus damim. The Gemara continues to discuss this idea. Pay close attention. Amarle, here this is where I'm up to. Amarle Abaye le Rav Dimi. Rav Abaye said to Rav Dimi. It's interesting because Dimi, Dom, also means silent, okay? So Abaye said to Rav Dimi, Dalad Mem is the root for blood, and Dalad Mem is the shorosh of blood, and Dalad Mem is also the shorosh of silence. So it's interesting that we're talking to Rav Dimi here because we're talking about the topics of spilling blood and the topics of knowing when to maintain your silence. Abaye said to Rav Dimi, Bima'arava, Bimazahire, in the West, what are they careful about? What is the West? The West, if you think of the map, is Eretz Yisrael, okay? We're in Bavel, north, east, south, west. To the west of Bavel is in Eretz Yisrael. What are they careful about in Eretz Yisrael? Ba'achavure ape. So Amarle, so Rav Dimi answered, Ba'achavure ape, they are careful about not embarrassing people. So in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they're careful not embarrassing people. To Amar Rabbi Chanina, like Rabbi Chanina said, look at this. This is Lashon HaKodesh, not Aramaic. Hakol Yordin L'Gehenem Chutz Mishlosha. Everyone goes down to Gehenem, except for three. Right? So that's what the Gemara says. What are we talking about here? Says the Gemara. Continue here. Hakol salka da'atach. Can it even enter your mind that everyone goes down to Gehenim? That is surely impossible. Art school commentary. Okay, so the Gemara has just told us hakol yordin in the Gehenim chutz mishlosha. Everyone goes down to Gehenim, the Sheol, the purgatory, hell, except for three. So the Gemara says, could it enter your mind that everyone goes down to Gehenim? That is surely impossible. Ela ema. Rather, you should say something else. Kol yardin the Gehenim olim chutz mishlosha. No, it means something else. Sheyardin ve'ein olim. It doesn't mean everyone goes down to Gehenim except for three. The proper way to understand this teaching is kol hayardin the Gehenim olim. Everyone who goes down to Gehenim comes up chutz mishlosha except for three. Sheyardin who go down ve'ein olim and do not come up. So the art scroll footnote says, they do not ascend soon after descending. They remain in Gehenim for a long time. So maybe that's someone who eats on Yom Kippur. Knowingly, I'm not talking about Shas at Chak. I'm not talking about an ill person. I'm talking about an ones guy, someone who knowingly sits down and eats on Yom Kippur. Or maybe someone who's publicly Michal Shabbos. Or someone who teaches Kofrus. Or someone who convinces others not to do the mitzvos. Is everyone muted? No. How did that happen? I thought I muted everyone. Okay. Now it should be. Okay. So maybe you would think it's somebody who, sits down on Yom Kippur and eats a pig sandwich, or someone who's publicly Mechal Shabbos. What is three who go down to Gehenim and don't come up? Ve'elu hein, and these are them, continues the Gemara. Here we go, oops. Ve'elu hein, haba al eshes ish, someone who has relations with eshes ish, his friend's wife, a woman who is forbidden to him. V'hamal bim pnei chaveiro birabim, this is unbelievable. And someone who embarrasses his friend in public, And the third one, maybe someone who does Avodah Zarah. Maybe who does Shvichos Damim. Maybe someone who, I don't know, like I said, publishes Kofris Sfarim and teaches them all over the world. These are the three. Someone who comes on to Eishes Ish, his relations with the woman who is forbidden to him. Someone is whitens his friend's face in public, which means he embarrasses him. And someone who calls his friend an embarrassing nickname. So the art school footnote says, literally, a bad nickname. When someone is called by such a nickname, he is generally embarrassed. Therefore, the punishment for using such a nickname is as severe as embarrassing someone. For an explanation of why this person is punished so severely, see the Rif and the Pnei Yoshua. So I did not look up the Rif or the Pnei Yoshua. Honestly, I'm not sure where I would even look them up. But Lamaisa, that's what the Gemara is telling us. Now, the Rif and the Pnei Yoshua explain why they're being punished so severely. That's a different story. But here the Gemara is telling you something beferish. That someone who embarrasses his friend in public and someone who calls his friend a bad nickname, which leads to public embarrassment, is on the level of someone who is a Baal Eishes Ish, and they go down to Gehenim, and the Gemara says they don't come up. So, oy, the Maisa, they go down, they don't come up for a long time. This is unbelievable. So now the Gemara says, Mechana Hainu Malbin. Nickname, is that the same as embarrassing someone? If it's the same as embarrassing someone, the Gemara is saying, then why is it two different categories? If you're embarrassing someone, you're embarrassing someone. So why put a Malbim Pnei Chavero as one category, and a Mechana Shema Chavero, someone who calls his friend a bad nickname, and another category, they're the same category. They're both embarrassing someone. Mechana Hainu Malbim. If Mechana, bad nickname, is embarrassing, then it's one category. Afal Gav Darish Be Bishmei. Nevertheless, Gemara answers as follows. Afal Gav Darish Be Bishmei, even if someone is used to being called by his nickname, and so Afal Gav Darish Be Bishmei, he's used to being called by the nickname. He's used to it. Art School comments, he does not turn white upon hearing it. It is still a grievous sin to call him by that name. And Rashi Gemara says, I could show you Rashi here. 1 second. Let me just turn to the Lashon HaKodesh. Here it is. So Rashi says, look over here, Darash Bey, Kvar Hugal Bakach, he's already used to Shemachnim Oso, that they call him this nickname, Shemachnim Oso Kain, that they call him this nickname, V'ein Panav Mishlabnos, when we call Makom, Zel HaChlim Miskaveh. Look at this. So even if you use that bad nickname, and you say, the guy's used to it already, he knows everyone calls him by that nickname, his face isn't whitened anymore, he's not even embarrassed anymore, when we call Makom, nevertheless, says Rashi, Zel HaChlim Miskaveh, your intention was to embarrass him. So it's not whether he feels the embarrassment. It's your intention to embarrass him publicly. Or you could say he's used to it and everyone calls him that. It doesn't matter because you intended to embarrass him and therefore that was your intention. So when you said those words and called that nickname, you are embarrassing that person in public. Remember, this is all under, we started a few weeks ago, the Mishnah that's expanded upon by the Gemara. If you remember, the Mishnah is all about, that the Gemara is expanding upon here, is all about Anasarim. Does everyone remember? The Mishnah told us, okay, at the top of this Amud, Kishem she'ona b'mikoch v'mikar kach onaz b'dvarim. Just like there is wrongdoing in buying and selling, there is wrongdoing, oppression with words. This is the Mishnah at the beginning of this Amud. Lo yomer lo b'kamachavit zeh. You shouldn't say, how much is this item? And you have no intention to buy it. If someone is a Baal Teshuva, you should not say, remember your earlier deeds. If he is someone who came from Gerim, you should not say to him, remember the deeds of your forefathers. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. 1 second, please. Don't take both down at the same time. Okay, thank you. So, 1 second. So, that's the Mishnah. And remember, everything that we're learning in the Gemara is all expounding upon that teaching of the Mishnah. So this topic of embarrassing someone in public and calling someone a nickname falls under the category of Ona'as Dvarim, which is clearly one of the forbidden terms of speech, like we began with the Tefillah al-Dibra. So the last thing we said in the Gemara, and we looked at Rashi here, is what you should say, is that Kol HaYardin LeGehenim Olim Chutz Mishlosha SheYardin Ve'ein Olim. So everyone goes down to Gehenim, goes down or comes up, except for three who do not come up. These three are Habal Eishas Ish, V'amabim Pnei Chavero Birabim, V'hamechana Shem Malach Chavero. So the three who don't come up are Baal Eishas Ish, and someone embarrasses his friend in public, and someone who calls his friend a bad nickname. Mechana haynu ma'abim, but calling a bad nickname is the same as embarrassing, isn't it? So if it is, why two different categories? So ma'abim afagav dara. Oh, sorry, afagav darash bebishmei. Even though he's used to it, it's still publicly embarrassing. And like we saw in Rashi, Nebuch farhuga b'kach, he's already used to it. Shemachnimo, so that this is what everybody calls him. Shemachnos, okay. Ain pan of mislab knows he's not even embarrassed anymore because he's like immune already to the shame. Nevertheless, you intended to embarrass him, and therefore it is considered like you're in the category of someone who's going down to Gehenna and not coming up. We already quoted Rashi, so I'm going to stop for a moment from the Gemara and go to a insight or a vignette, if you will, from Rav Pam Zatzal. So I'm quoting from this art school biography, okay, the life and ideals of Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh L'Vracha. So here we go. Let me just see which pages. Yeah. Okay. In a passage in his Sefer, Atara Lamelach, Rav Pam provides another glimpse as to how he exhorted his Talmidim to view seemingly meaningless actions from a deep spiritual perspective. One second. I just have to move this so I can put the book where I could see it. To view seemingly meaningless actions from a deep spiritual perspective. So you think it's meaningless to call somebody a nickname, especially because the guy doesn't care anymore. I mean, how meaningful is it, right? It's meaningless. It's nothing. It's just a name. We all call him by that name. So clearly, Chazal don't see it as so simple. It's not so pasha to just call someone by that name, and you think it's meaningless, right? In a discourse on the halachic issues of stealing for fun, okay, that's in parentheses, Rav Pam writes as follows. Remember, we're on the topic of onas dvarim. There's onas b'mikach, said the Mishnah, and there's onah b'dvarim. There's financial abuse, and there is verbal abuse. Rav Pam writes in Atar Lamelech, many times I have seen adults play with children in the following manner. The adult snatches something from the child and hides it in his hand. When the child tries to take the item back, the adult switches it into the other hand, or he puts his hand behind his back. And the scenario is repeated again and again. The adult continues to tease the child until the child bursts into tears, at which point the adult returns the item. He feels no remorse for what he has done, and no regret for the pleasure he derived from this game. What could be wrong with having some fun? In fact, this is very shameful behavior and involves numerous transgressions. So he's not talking specifically about calling somebody a nickname, but just a kmaisa comes at someone else's expense. It's for your benefit. You enjoy the kick you get from demeaning and embarrassing someone. So too, he says, it's a very serious transgression to tease somebody to the point where they become so upset, and you think it's just a game. That too is calling somebody a nickname. You think it's just a game. You're teasing someone. They become so embarrassed that they're on the verge of tears. Sometimes it becomes so extreme that they don't even think it's bad anymore. Not even embarrassed anymore, but you intend to embarrass them. You intend to tease them. Continues Rav Pam. I say that it is very shameful because of the cruelty involved. Anyone who causes distress to somebody else, even for a moment, and derives pleasure from this, is not innocent of this evil trait. I'm going to repeat that one sentence, two sentences. I say that it is very shameful because of the cruelty involved. Anyone who causes distress to someone else, even for a moment, and derives pleasure from this, is not innocent of this evil trait. So what's the point of being ma'abim pnei chaveber, and what's the point of calling somebody a nickname? You derive, in some sixth sense, you derive some pleasure. You derive some pleasure, whether it's taunting or getting back at that person, but you derive some nebuch, some pleasure from that. You're not innocent of this evil trait of cruelty. Shlomo HaMelech said, and now this is going to relate to specifically Dibor, there is one who speaks harshly, like the piercings of a sword. Actually, I'm going to get the original pasuk for you so that you can see the lashon inside. Just one moment, please. Okay, I have to go back to my screen for a second. There is one who speaks harshly like the piercings of a sword. One second. I'm trying to copy and paste it into the chat for you. That's what I'm trying to do. Here we go. Okay. Just going to put it in the chat so we can all see it. And you'll see how relevant this pasuk that Rav Pam quotes in this piece in Atar LaMelech is to our learning. It's from Mishlei Yud Beis Yud Ches. Okay, there it is on the screen for you, on your chat. Yesh bota kimad kiros charev. There is one who speaks like the jab of a sword. Lashon chachamim marpe. That the tongue of the wise brings healing. Shlomo HaMelech said, says Rav Pam, there is one who speaks harshly like the jab or the piercing of a sword. Common thinking, says Rav Pam, is that cruelty refers to such acts like murder or extreme torture. The Torah's viewpoint, however, is that even a sharp comment which pierces another person's heart is actual cruelty. The same applies to the behavior of teasing, as we have described. Anyone with a proper outlook will recoil from it. Very, very relevant to our Gemara. One more piece from Rav Pam, a different place in the Atar LaMelech. And yet another shmooze. Rav Pam commented on the fun that some engage in on the great Yom Tov of Purim. My son just told me that the other week, last week or the week before, Rabbi Kielsen in Darche, the Mashkiach, gave a shmooze on Leitzanus, which is another aspect of forbidden speech that we daven, that we should not be affected by. He gave a shmooze on Leitzanus, okay? There are those who think, said Rav Pam, that one can say whatever he pleases on Purim. They reason that surely everyone is forgiven and everyone is forgiving, and they do not mind being ridiculed on Purim. But who can say this is actually so? And my son said that Rav Kielsen actually spoke about Purim Shviels and when you start to cross the line. Perhaps in his heart, the person is upset over what is said, the person who's being mocked, but he's actually too ashamed to admit it. Ma'al ben p'nei chaveiro. Even if he is not upset. So that's what Rashi touches upon. Let's say the person's not upset by the nickname. So is it still an aver that I'm going down to kind of not going up? He doesn't care anymore. He's so used to it. It's not even ma'al ben p'nei chaveiro. But what does Rashi say? Yeah, because you are miskaving. You were intended to hurt him. So Rav Pam addresses this. Rav Pam says, even if he's not upset, to ridicule others is not the way of Torah, which is a way of pleasantness. We know, Dracha Darche Noam. Her paths are all paths of pleasantness. Her ways are all paths of peace. So even if the person isn't upset, the receiving, which is exactly what Rashi addresses, to ridicule others is not the way of Torah, which is a way of pleasantness, and it contradicts the respect we must show to others. Now he quotes the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim would often quote, a fool turns gold into dirt, while a wise man turns dirt into gold. A fool turns gold into dirt. A wise man turns dirt into gold. I think perhaps the Chafetz Chaim is referring to the Koach HaDibur. Your Dibur could either be gold or it could be dirt. A fool will take the golden gift of speech and turn it into dirt. A wise man takes what could potentially be dirt and turn it into gold. That's exactly what this pasuk of Mishlei said that Rav Pam quoted in the earlier piece on Atar LaMelech. It's how do you use it? Yesh bota kimad kiros charev. There's one who speaks like the jabs of a sword. So he takes what could be golden and changes it into dirt. Uvashen chachami marpe. The speech of the wise person brings healing, because it's the wise person who knows how to turn dirt, something lowly, something insulting, into gold and elevate it. The Chafetz Chaim would often quote that saying, a fool turns gold into dirt, a wise man turns dirt into gold. So it is with joy, says Rav Pam. There is an uplifting type of joy. And again, this is touching upon Leitzanus, which relates very much to Onas Dvaram. Calling someone a nickname and bearing someone in public is under the category of Onas Dvaram, like we're learning here in Bava Metzia, where the Gemara expands upon the Mishnah. However, it also falls into the category of Leitzanus very much. And interestingly, in the Tfila Al Hadibur, which is based on the teachings of the Chafetz Chaim, listen to the order. Ezarim le daber, divrei, onas dvarim habanis panim leitzanus. That is the order in which they go. We ask Hashem to help us not speak onas dvarim, verbal oppression. And if you speak onas dvarim, it's going to lead to habanas panim, like you see in the Gemara that we're learning. And if you lead to habanas panim, you're inevitably going to lead to leitzanos. So there is a continuum here, if you will, where one thing, Rachman al-Tzan, leads to the other. Continues Rav Pam, there's an uplifting type of joy, which brings a person to love, Ahavas Hashem, and awe of Hashem, Yiras Hashem. So that's uplifting, that's Ivduas Hashem, Besimcha, Bolufana, Birnana. But there's also frivolity, that's Leitzanus, which brings lightheadedness and lowliness. Therefore, one should be very careful in his celebration of Purim, that is a simcha shel mitzvah, a simcha which results from a mitzvah, and not leitzanus. Two teachings from a palm, and now the biographer comments, who wrote this? Rabbi Shimon Finkelman. Rabbi Finkelman. So, the underlying message in all of these vignettes, there were early ones that I didn't read all of the examples, do not see things superficially. Comments from Finkelman. So you can see nickname is just superficial. You can see a joke at someone else's expense. Ma'abim pnei chaver was superficial. When you get to the Olam HaEmes and the Yom HaDin, it's not going to be superficial at all. When picking up a fallen sefer, ponder its purpose, Torah study, the purpose of creation. When standing, again, these relate to earlier vignettes in the book that I didn't read for today's class, because it's not relevant to today's year. When standing at the Kosam Ma'aravi, realize you're in the presence of the Shekhinah. When playing with a young child, realize that you are dealing with a human being who has feelings. And when fulfilling the mitzvah to rejoice on Purim, ensure that your words and actions truly are a mitzvah. Okay, going back to the Gemara. So that's from Rav Pam Zatzal. Let's go back to the Gemara. I'm going to continue my screen share. 1 second. Oh, I just have to move you so I could get where I want to be. There we go. Okay, could you see we're back in Bava Metziah here, yeah? Okay, right at the end of Nun Ches Amud Beis. So, embarrassing and calling a nickname are the same thing? No. So the Gemara concludes there are two different things, because even like Rashi explains in the Gemara, if he's used to hearing it, you had intention, l'achlima miskavin, you can see it right here, l'achlima miskavin, since you had intention to embarrass him, it's considered a different aspect of embarrassment and it's its own sin. Continues the Gemara. So this is right at the end of Nun Ches Amud Beis. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Noach lo la Adam sheyavo al safek eishes ish va'al yal bim pnei chaveiro b'rabim. It is better than a man should have relations with a woman who is possibly another man's wife, and he should not shame his fellow in public. Okay, the art school footnote says, literally, but let him not shame. The Gemara is noting, art school footnote, the gravity of shaming someone in public. I mean, I'm sure that everyone who is partaking in the shir would never dream of being involved in the former sin. It is abhorrent, we would shudder, we would think, never me, who would do such a terrible, lowly, disgusting thing? You're learning, we're learning that you see that the Gemara holds these two sins. Eishes ish, ma'abim pnei chaver b'rabim. Calling someone a nickname. Shocking, because we consider one to be so horrific and the other we don't take so seriously. And that's not the viewpoint of the Torah. Rav Pam said that teasing somebody is a cruel sin. And we tend to think of cruelty related to murder and torture. So that's not the Torah viewpoint. Cruelty can be done with words and teasing. And it is a grievous sin for which one must stay far, far away. So, Noach lo la Adam sheyava al safek eishes ish v'al yab nechaber v'rabim. Even the sin, I'm quoting from the article footnote, of cohabiting with a woman who is possibly married, asserts the Gemara, is less serious than shaming someone as public, as the Gemara will now continue to demonstrate. Okay? So where do you learn this from? Manalan. From where do we learn this from? Madrash Rabba. From the pasuk that Rabba expounded. Darash Rabba. Rabba explained as follows. Ma'i dichtiv. What is the meaning of this pasuk? Let me put it over here for you. What is the meaning of the pasuk from Tehillim? Lamed Hey. The Gemara is now going to explain the following pasuk. Lamed Hey Tesvav. Here we go. Lamed Hey Tesvav, right here. Okay. Look at the. Could you see on my screen that I'm in Tehillim? Yes? Okay, thank you so much. Uvitz'ali samchu, when I limped, they rejoiced. The ne'esafu, they gathered. Ne'esafu alai nechim, lame people gathered around me. Velo yadati, I didn't know why. Karu velo damlu, were they to tear kriya, they would not be silent. I just want to see some hands of arts. Yeah, so interesting. Chabad says they would not draw blood. We said before that dom is blood and silence. Art school Gemara translates that they tore at me and would not be silenced. What you see on the screen is that Chabad said, were they to tear me, they would not draw blood. So obviously there's a dual meaning, like we said before. Dalad men means both blood and silence. Both interpretations relate very much to the piece of Gemara that we're learning. I'm just going to go with the art school translation, but clearly there is an alternative translation, as you see on the screen in Chabad. So the Gemara art school translation of the pasuk in English is, when I limped, they rejoiced and they gathered around. They tore at me, they would not be silenced. Uvitzali shamchu, when I lipped, they rejoiced. Ne'asafu, ne'asafu alei nechim. They gathered around me, the lame people. Velo yadati, I don't know why. Karu velo damu, they tore at me, they would not be silenced. So that's the pasuk that you're going to see right here. Uvitzali shamchu, ve'ne'asafu, karai velo damu. This is the pasuk that the Gemara says teaches you, it's better to come al safek eishas ish, and not to embarrass your friend in public. So by the way, as we're going to be finishing this story here, which relates to David and the sin of Bathsheba, but just like Halacha L'maisa, something to keep in mind until we meet again over the next 2 weeks, is not only the idea of it's forbidden to embarrass people in public, but two more things that we learned today that are very practical applications. Is one, specifically teasing in general, but specifically teasing when it comes to children. It's not okay. Just because they're a child and you think it's a game, it's not a game. And if we're causing them distress through our teasing, it is a grievous sin. And the second thing that we learned at Lachlan Nice is that if a person does not enjoy being called by a certain nickname, and you know that it's embarrassing, and even if you think they don't care anymore because the whole world calls them that, it's also to call them by that nickname. So it's two very, very important things to keep in mind practically that have great application for us many, many times in our interactions with others. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. Amar David lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. David said before Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sheolam, Master of the Word, Galui v'yadua lifanecha. Excuse me. It is revealed and known before you. She'im hayu makrim bisari. If my enemies were to tear my flesh, lo haya dami shoseis la'aretz. My blood would not flow to the ground. If my enemies were to tear my flesh, my blood would not flow to the ground, says the article footnote, for it has drained from the surface because of their taunts about my sin. What David HaMelech is saying is that then my enemies to tear my flesh, my blood wouldn't even flow. Why would my blood not flow? It was already drained from me. My blood was all drained from me because everybody was mocking me because of my sin. Below Ode, and not only that, Ella, Afilu Bashasha Oskin Binagaim, Va'ohalos, Armimli, even at the time that they are engrossed in the study of Nagaim and Ohalos. So the Archkofano explains, what are Nagaim and Ohalos? It's ironic. Nagaim would deal with the laws of Tsaras. Even when my enemies are dealing with the learning about the laws of Tsaras. Tsaras comes from Lashon Hara Malbim Pnechaveh Barabim. They're mocking me about the learning about the laws of Ohalos, which deals with the laws of the corpse, Tumas Mace. They're mocking me. So the irony here is King David is noting how grievously his enemies sinned. They did not merely humiliate him in public, which is serious in and of itself. Even while they were engrossed in the study of very complex Torah subjects, such as Tzaraz, which deals with not speaking Lashon Hara, but shouldn't lead to Tzaraz, or ritual purity, that they are still mocking him. This is the irony. Tzaraz, the Maharsha suggests, is a heavenly punishment for slander. But his enemy's study of these laws did not deter them from slandering him. So while they're in the middle of learning the sugya, they're making fun of him. So what would that be like? It would be like we all spent these 45 minutes learning, and then we get off, and then at 10:30 you get a phone call, and it's your old friend, and you know she prefers being called by her real name, but everyone calls her by your nickname. So at 10:30, half hour after you get off this year, you go and you call someone by your nickname. So mamish, well, you're learning the sugya. You go and make some fun of somebody else. So it's not bad enough. It's not like you didn't know. Now you know. It's not like when the grandchild comes over later and you hide the toy from him and he's crying and trying to come closer, and then you switch lines. It's not like you didn't know. Now you know. Well, David Melech says, like, man, he's in a while they're learning the Gaiman O'Halos, these complex subjects which come and talk about not making fun of others, spilling somebody's blood, O'Halos, how to deal with a corpse, and the Gaiman, which comes from Tsaras, which comes from Lashon Hara, they're still making fun of me. Armingly, while they're learning these topics, they say to me, David, Habal Eishas Ish Misaso Bima, one who comes on Eishas Ish, another husband's wife, how is he put to death? Bema, which form of execution? Ani Omer Lahem, and I say to them, Misaso Becherek. Someone who comes by to Eishas Ish, he is to be put to death by strangulation. The Yesh Lo Chedek Olam Haba, but someone who comes has a suffix and comes upon Eishas Ish, he has a chedek in Olam Haba. However, Hamal Bim Pnei Chaber Berabim Ein Lo Chedek Olam Haba. But someone who embarrasses his friend in public has no share in the world to come. So we're talking about here, King David said, okay, it's in Malachim Beis. Towards the beginning of Malachim Beis, I actually just was looking through the parak for a different shir project, okay? So the circumstances under which he married Bathsheba. King David had relations with Bathsheba after her first husband Uriah went off to battle. Uriah followed the then prevalent practice of leaving his wife a conditional get before going to the battlefield. Therefore, if the soldier was killed on the battlefield, the get would take effect retroactively because he was no longer there. But if he survived, it was to be null and void. This was to avoid a variety of halachic complications should he be killed or disappear in battle. Uriah did later die in battle, although if you look at the Pshat of Pesukim, David HaMelech sent him to certain positions and told the other commanders to leave him there, knowing he would be in a position where Uriah would be killed. And so when King David first had relations with Bathsheba, she was retroactively legally divorced. However, since Uriah was still alive at the time, because the get was only to take effect if he died, which King David knew he was going to die because he sent him to a position where he would not survive, only later it emerged she had retroactively divorced. She had the status of Haba al Safek Eishas Ish, possibly a married woman, and King David was not free from guilt. So whether how we understand what he did in Kapitel Nun Aleph of Tehillim, Chatasi Negdi Shamid, my sin is before me always. Hashem Lev Nishpa Vinidka, Lokim No Tivza. Hashem doesn't want our Kabbano, says King David in that Kapitel. He wants our broken heart. But Lamaisa, what David HaMelech is talking about is not in that Kapitel, at least Kapitel Amid Hey, his sin. He's talking about the reaction of his detractors, his mockers and his scoffers, which is to embarrass him in public. Interestingly, so the Pasuk said, okay, Ubitzali Sam Chuvenef Safu, Karu Velo Damba, the Pasuk from Tilm 35, Lamed Hey, which we already looked at. Rava expands King David's statement as if the word Uvitzali means on account of my rib. What is that referring to? When Isha was created, Pasuk at the end of Bereishis Perak Bei says Hashem took the tzela, the side bone or the rib. So that's how the Gemara sees this, Uvitzal'i, a bone, she's bone from my bone, said Adam, she is flesh from my flesh, she was taken from the tzala, the side bone of Adam. Therefore, here Rava expands King David's statement, Uvitzal'i means on account of my rib, because that's where woman was created from. And Damu refers to Dam, blood. So you see here, according to Rava, how we understand. Art school says it's silent. Chabad said it was blood. But Taka, it actually means both. The word Damu, science, refers to Dam, blood. Therefore, King David was actually saying in this pasuk, on account of my rib, Uvitzali, i.e., on account of my wife, Bathsheba, whose marriage began under questionable circumstances, they rejoice and gather to Tom. If they would tear at me, they would not find blood. They will also not be silenced. They won't be silenced in their mockery, and they won't find blood because it's as if all my blood has already drained. So from today's shiur, we began with a beautiful and encouraging, uplifting piece by Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman on the power of holding our tongue and saying proper words. And the whole rest of the shiur, based on the Gemara here, Maseches Baba Metzia, we finished Nun Ches, we went into the beginning of Nun Tes, really reiterates how very, very powerful is the sin of Onas Dvarim. We also gave some practical Lachala Maisa, very important kudos when we behave with others. And Be'ezrat Hashem next time, so a lot of food for thought, a lot to continue to work on. Be'ezrat Hashem next time, we will continue with the Gemara inside. Ashur should be his chus, Aliyah Neshamas for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav Vachana Lav Hashem, and Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya Lav Hashem. And I wish everybody a Chodesh Tov, a Besuros Tovos, Refulos, Simchas, and we should always be zochah to share good news and the Geula Shleima, Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Kol Tov.